pray together. And so that's starting tonight. Tonight is our opening service, and tonight Pastor Krister and myself are tag team preaching at the opening service, so you want to be there for that. So if after the end of this morning you think, I'd rather not hear that guy again, don't worry, there's somebody else who's going to be there too. Well, if you're going to look in the dictionary to try and figure out what amen means, if you're going to want a real technical, what does the word amen mean? It means truth. It means truth. So when we say amen, we're saying, that's true. Well, whatever we just said, I believe that. So when you say amen to something, you are stating what you believe. You're saying, hey, I believe what either I just said or what that person just said. You're saying that is true. So, you know, you cannot say amen without believing that thing that was just prayed. And sometimes we sort of tune out during the prayer part, and then we hear amen, we're like, we all cue in, and we're like, amen. We better be careful when we use that word. You're just coming into agreement with something that's just been spoken. So we must pray. When we pray, whenever we pray, we must pray in faith. To pray without actually believing is not really a prayer at all. So we say amen to affirm that which is true. Now, Jesus did this all the time. If you spend any amount of time reading some of the New Testaments, reading some of the stories of Jesus, Jesus would often start his speeches or his conversations, and we read it in our English Bible that says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you. Or some translations would say, I tell you the truth. You ever heard Jesus start a conversation like that? You know what word he's actually using? Amen. He begins his speech, amen. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, amen, I tell you, unless you are born again, whether we as individuals living in this generation, in this time in history, whether we realize it or not, the truth is that Jesus told us, if we are not born again, if we do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. And we need to come to realize what the truth is so that we know how to say amen. So that if we were to spend any amount of time in prayer with God, that we know what it is that we need to affirm as truth. Jesus is saying, this is the truth. You must be born again. Another way that you see it all throughout the Psalms, you see amen being used after a statement like, to God be all the glory. Amen. Now that's a true statement, whether we acknowledge it or not. Even if we try and take credit for things that we've accomplished and done, God is truly the one who gets the glory. Because he either made it, made you, gave you the idea, financed it, provided the way to do it. He was involved. And so when you would read a scripture that says, to God be all the glory, amen, saying the truth is, you don't really get much credit for anything anyways because God was really the one doing it. That's the first way that we can use amen. It's a wonderful way to use the word amen. Now, there's a difference when we're praying for our food. If we have a habit, if you have a habit in your homes of praying for your food before you eat, sometimes you use it to affirm the truth, and sometimes you're declaring something in faith. See, when you bless your organic, you know, unsweetened, non-sugar Asian stir fry, you're affirming something that's true. God bless this food to my body. God's like, yep, that's exactly what it'll do. It's a healthy meal. Amen. But when you're sitting down to an extra cheese pizza with buffalo chicken wings and blue cheese dressing, you're praying in faith. God, I need a miracle. I need you to bless somehow, God, change the molecular structure of this food as it slides down my throat. Make, bless this to my body. You're using faith when you pray. Does that help? That's the difference. Two different ways to pray amen, to say amen. Two different ways to pray. And so when we're entering into this week of prayer, we're not praying for an organic salad. We're praying for some extra cheese pizza here. We're asking God to bless something that is not already all that blessed. We're asking God to change, bring a change into the city because there's some unhealthy things in the city going on. We need to be praying in faith. So this second kind of way that we use amen is really what we want to focus ourselves on this morning and going into this week, the second reason. And so we read, and if you have your Bibles, you can flip over one more passage I'll ask you to flip to. Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans is in the New Testament just after the Gospels and Acts. Romans chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at something that we read in Romans is attributed to God. And it's something that we get to grab onto and we get to We get to be like God in how we act. In Romans chapter 4 and in verse 17, we get this description of God, and it's up on the screen if you're not there in the Bible. God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. God calls into existence things that do not exist. I love the amplified version of this verse. It says, God speaks of non-existent things as if they already existed. God speaks of non-existent things as if they already existed. Now, those who don't believe the Bible, those who don't believe in the account in the scriptures about God creating the world, they might think that it's just foolish that we actually believe that God created the world just by speaking it into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That just seems so strange to someone who doesn't recognize the authority of the Bible. But you know, the more time that I spend on this earth, the more time that I spend examining creation and nature and animals and complexities of a human being, the more I think, I don't have enough faith to believe in anything else. I don't have faith to believe that DNA particles just decided to develop and grow. I'd say that takes a whole lot of faith. And so when we take our authority from the scriptures, we see that this is true. This very verse, that God calls into existence things that don't exist, and we see it right in the beginning, right in the book of Genesis. We read Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, which kind of an amen would God have been using there? Was he affirming truth or declaring something? He was declaring something. There was no light when God said, let there be light. He was making a faith statement, and after he made that statement, the light came. And so we have, when we read it in our English translation of the Bible, we have this phrase in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. It's only two words in the original documents, in the original Hebrew. We have the word light, which is there. But the other word is simply be. Now, it's not very good grammatically to say, be light. So we've stretched it out there in the English language, let there be light. But God said, be light. He called something into existence that wasn't formally there, and then there was light. Now, why am I talking about that? Because You can define amen to mean truth, but you can also define it to mean so be it. And again, that's our English language trying to stretch it out there to make sense. You're saying be. God said light be. When we say amen, we're saying prayer be. We're saying whatever words we've just spoken coming to existence. And we don't do it because we think we have any power in and of ourselves. You know those few words that we say before amen? In Jesus' name. We don't think we inherently have any power in and of ourselves. We say, in Jesus' name, prayer, come into existence. Whatever I've just asked for, happen now in Jesus' name. And for many of us, for much of the world, we've approached prayer as like we're just sort of hoping and wishing and wondering, and there's a lot of good times where we can just have open conversations with God. We're saying, God, I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do here, and I'm not really sure what your will is. But there's a whole lot more times where we know what God's will is. But we know that it's God's will to change Niagara and to make it a place that is an honoring community towards God. We know that that's His will. So when we spend a whole week praying, God, we want you to bring change into our city. We pray in faith. We're not hoping, wishing, asking. When we say amen, we're saying, happen now in Jesus' name. We are doing exactly what Romans 4:17 says. We're calling things that do not exist as if they existed. We say, Heavenly Father, blah, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. We're saying, prayer, happen now. So be it. Just in the same way that God said, be light. We're saying, prayer, be. So be it. Come into existence. And so, We read Romans 4:17 and people think, well, you know, Pastor Tim, that's a description of how God works. That's something that God does. That's not something that we're supposed to do. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because Paul wrote to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We're called to imitate God. We're not called to be God. We can never be God. I don't want anyone in this room to be God. The universe would be in pretty poor shape if any of us were in charge. Amen? And that you were affirming the truth there. You didn't need faith to say that. We would mess the whole planet up if we were in charge. So I'm not saying we are God. I'm saying that we're called to imitate God. In the same way that God spoke life into existence, he spoke light into existence, we're supposed to imitate him. And we're supposed to, the Bible says that whatever we pray in accordance with God's will, we can have it. So we can approach prayer, we can approach our amens, and expect things to happen. Things that we've looked around and we see. You could look around and you can see chaos in your family. You could look around and see disaster and strife in your workplace. And when you pray, you can say amen, and you can believe that that's actually going to change. You know what? I was always told when I was young, the reason why we closed our eyes when we prayed. Does anybody actually know why we close our eyes when we pray? I can't find it in the Bible. I'm still looking. But we close our eyes when we pray for a very good reason, so that we're not distracted, so that we can focus ourselves on God. We're not distracted by people around us. But I think another great reason to close our eyes when we pray is that we're closing our eyes to our circumstances around us. And when we say amen, we can open them with an expectation that we're about to have something new before us. That when we pray, when you say amen, in Jesus' name, amen, you can open your eyes with faith. And if you were praying for someone in your family who was sick to be healed, you can have faith. When I open my eyes, there's going to be a healed person before me. When you pray over strife in a relationship, you can believe when I open my eyes that there's going to be a healing in this relationship. When you open your eyes, you can have faith that your prayer just changed something. When God said, be light, I don't think he was sort of like peeking like, did it work? I wonder. He believed. He had faith. And I know that we can't imagine that we would have the same kind of faith as God. But that's where we say, okay, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me because I can't believe in the ways that I'd want to and the way that you've called me to. So help my unbelief, God. But then we can also know that the Bible tells us that we have been given his faith. Where he can top us up with his faith. He can drop faith inside of you to pray for something that you thought, whoo, did that come out of my mouth? And you can have faith that prayer will actually change things. When we pray, we release our faith for that which is not presently an experiential reality to become an experiential reality. We believe that prayer will actually manifest. These are the ways that we are to approach our prayer. When you pray over your family and say prayer, family, I pray that this family would experience joy, life, love. You can say amen and believe that your prayer, just your words coming out of your mouth, make a difference. And you know, we've got a whole week coming up where we can gather together and pray. And I think there's many of us who would be intimidated of coming to those gatherings because we think, well, I don't want to have to pray out loud in front of others, and I don't know who's going to be there. I don't like praying in front of people that I don't know. Do you know that you, just by coming and listening to other people's prayers and saying in your heart, amen, do you realize what you've just done? You've heard somebody else make a request before God, and you're saying, hey, I agree with that. Prayer come into existence. You are joining your faith with someone else's prayer that you didn't even think those things, you didn't even ask for those things, but you become a part of it when you join your faith just by saying, amen. When we pray together and when you, as a church family, we say together, amen, that's no longer my prayer or Anders' prayer or Peter's prayer. When all of us, when you say amen, that becomes your prayer. You've made that request before God. God's sitting up in heaven going, oh my, Robert just said amen. Look what he just prayed. He just came into agreement with, what a beautiful prayer that Robert prayed. I'm going to honor Robert this morning. I'm going to answer his prayer. Now, hopefully, that wasn't a prayer that you were napping through. Just saying, oh, amen. Okay, that guy's over. He's done. Hopefully, you were listening, and you come into agreement with that prayer, and God says, wow, my child just prayed and asked for something. I better get busy making it reality. We are to call things that are not as though they are. In the early years of the Pentecostal revival, in the early 1900s, to which this church traces its roots, there was an early prophetic word, an early prophecy that was spoken by someone. It was a warning from the Lord. And the prophetic word said this, that there would be a day when a people sang to and worshiped a God that they no longer prayed to. That we could become so wrapped up in singing songs and going to worship events and going to concerts and singing songs that we would never actually take time to pray. And you know what? I could probably say amen to that prophecy, not because I want it to be a reality, but because I think that in many ways it is. I think that when churches and different Christian ministries, when they hold worship nights, song nights, come out to a concert, we're going to sing songs. I think those crowds are a lot fuller when we call a prayer meeting. Let's get together and pray, church. And you get maybe 5-10% of the people who'd show up to sing songs. Now, I'm not saying that worship is less important than prayer. We gather and we call this mornings our morning worship service because we want this to be about worship. Our church name is Niagara Worship Center. So I'm not downplaying anything about singing songs. I'm just saying it's a whole lot easier to come into a gathering and to just join in and sing. But we can get real intimidated with prayer. It doesn't seem as exciting to get together in a quiet room where there's no music, no entertainment. And you might be asked to pray. I don't want this to be our church. That there would be a people who sang to and worshiped a God that they no longer prayed to. That they no longer took time to have open, honest conversations with God. To boldly ask for results in Jesus' name. May we not be a people who just enjoy Christian programs and programming and singing and concerts that we miss out on prayer time with God. Where God's just, he's just waiting for you to come with a request before him so that he can start moving in the scene. He can start coming into your family and bringing peace into relationships where there's strife. Where he can start coming into your situation wherever there's conflict and bring peace into that. We could spend a whole lot of time singing songs and praising God, but God's just waiting for us to ask. God, I need you to come and I need you to bring healing into this situation. Prayer is worth it. It's worth it. It's the art of coming into agreement with the Almighty God. See, if we really believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, if we really believe that God spoke, light be, and it was, if we think that that is our God, he's your creator, how cool is it to think that we could just go and ask him, make a request to the very person who created everything? Just ask him for something, whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart, whatever's consuming you, whatever's stressing you out, whatever's bringing you strife and conflict in your life, that you could actually go to the person who created you and brought you into existence. And he's listening. And there's times where we make requests or we don't have as much faith because we're not sure what God's going to do. We're not sure what his will is. But I think there's a whole lot more opportunities where we could say, God, I believe. And I'm just going to speak. I'm going to speak this into existence. You know, Christine and I have just made a decision that we're not going to speak things that we don't want to come into existence. We take our words very seriously. And when, well, most of the people would say, well, you know what, it's flu season, flu's coming around. Imagine someone just going, amen, I'm going to come into agreement with that. I believe that you're going to get sick in Jesus' name. Say, hey, what? That's not very nice. Well, you don't have to say amen for you to be speaking words of faith. You could have faith that you're going to get sick, and your body will start functioning like it's sick. You just told your body to develop germs. So we don't confess sickness over us. We confess God's favor over us. We come into agreement with each other and believe that what we put our faith in can actually become a reality. That we can speak our words and speak words of life, and that will bring life into us. And we see this in the natural in so many ways. How do you show somebody that you love them? What is the simplest way to do that? You tell them. What can those words do to you when a spouse or a child or a parent just looks at you and says, I love you? Now, would you say, oh, those are just words? Prove it. Show me. Do something for me to show me that you love me. No, just those words, the actual words. If there's conflict in your relationship and someone comes up to you and says, hey, I forgive you. You know what that is? That's the actual act of forgiveness. Just the words in and of themselves. You're not going to say, oh, well, prove that you forgive me. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see how you treat me over the next few weeks to see if you really forgave me. No, just the words by somebody saying, hey, listen, there's been some strife here, and I just want you to know that I'm sorry if I've done something that's offended you. You've hurt me. I took it maybe the wrong way, but I just want you to know that I'm sorry. What have you just experienced? Forgiveness. And yet they were just words. You could say, oh, it's just words. It doesn't mean anything. I wasn't trying to confess sickness over my family. I was just saying that, you know, the flu's going around, and I was watching the news, and it must be coming near us now. So I was just, you know, I was just. We need to realize that our words actually have faith behind them. Otherwise, you wouldn't say it. You wouldn't say that you believe that you were going to get sick unless you believed it. There's faith there. So why would we exercise faith for something that we don't want to happen? Why would we exercise our faith, one of the greatest gifts that God's given us? You know how we're saved? You know how we come into the family of God? One way, by faith. There's only one way that you can actually come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, by faith. The greatest gift that God's given us. And we use faith in all the wrong directions. I believe that we're going to get broke. I believe that we can't make our visa payments this month. I believe that there's going to be this conflict. I believe that our family isn't going to make it through this challenge. Why are you exercising God's gift of faith in all things that would bring a terrible thing into your life and situation? You say, well, no, I'm not trying to call things into existence. I'm not trying to be like God. Oh, but you've been created in the image and in the likeness of God. See, whether we like it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you believe in God or not, you were actually created in His image. Think about that. The Creator of the universe made you in His image. And not just in His image, in His likeness. We were created to operate just like God. You know, in the book of Genesis, and I won't take time to go there, but we have God calling into existence all that exists in the first 6 days of creation. He called man into existence. And he then breathed the breath of life into him. And Adam became a living being, a speaking spirit, a living soul. And then God had created all of these animals. It says that he formed them. He formed the animals, just like he formed Adam. He formed Adam. He formed the animals. But he breathed into Adam and caused Adam to have life. But who breathed into the animals? God said, Adam, he brought all of the animals. He formed the animals. He brought them to Adam. He said, Adam, whatever you name them, that's what they'll be. Think of the power that God gave to Adam in that one moment. Whatever word you speak, whatever comes out of your mouth, that species is going to be labeled for the rest of its existence. If you say dog, man, that thing is a dog. God's not going to argue with him and say, no, that was supposed to be cat. You got it all wrong. No, whatever Adam said became truth, became reality. When Adam said spider, it was a spider. It didn't become a spider. Okay? It was now known as a spider because Adam spoke it. The very first thing, the very first assignment that God gave his creation was to use your words wisely. Whatever you speak, so that's going to be its name. When we come together, when we spend time, whether we are formally spending time in prayer with our eyes closed, with our hands folded, or whether we're just living life, we need to know that what we express, the words that come out of our mouth, whatever it is that we want to say amen to, we're calling things into existence. That's why all it takes is a prayer to become a member of the family of God. Your words, you're confessing Jesus as your Lord by faith. And all of a sudden it becomes a reality. Jesus is your Lord. You've been born again. So when Jesus said, amen, I tell you that unless you were born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Well, now you became born again. And what did you use to get that born again status? Your words. Words of faith. Things that weren't true before. Jesus wasn't your Savior until you said, Jesus, you're my Savior. Your spouse was not your spouse until you said, I, Tim, take you, Christine, to be my wife. She was not my wife until I said those words. Believe me, she would not be my wife if I refused to say those words. You've got to speak it out. On your wedding day, you don't say, you know, the priest or the pastor asks you, you know, do you so-and-so take so-and-so to be your lawfully wedded husband or wife? You don't say, well, I'll try. You better not. Say, I do. Now, that's a faith statement. Because he just said, well, you know, you're going to be this person's wife and or husband in sickness and in health and in good times and in bad times. And did anybody listen to that part where it says, till death? Like forever? And most of us probably weren't sweating going, oh, gee, I didn't know this was part of the arrangement. I thought this was kind of like, you know, like a lease. Like we could do like a 5-year term. And then start over again and see if we want to renew the license. There's some places in the world that are actually doing that now. This world needs prayer, family. It needs prayer. And God is waiting for his children to ask so that he can go, yeah, that's something I can do. That's something I can get behind. You want me to come and help you with your family situation? I'll come and do that. You want me to help you with the conflict that's going on at work? I can do that. Just ask me. Just ask me. Jesus is in the corner of your ring waiting for you to tag him in. Come on. Let me in. Let me in, John. Let me help with your situation. Let me in, Sandy. Come on. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. Just tag me and ask me for help. And until those words come out of your mouth, he's not going to come in. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not a puppet master. And so when we struggle with life and think, well, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do God-loving people and wonderful, dear people get into car accidents and experience sickness and then and die when they shouldn't, you know, at a young age? Why does that happen? Because God's not a puppet master. He created life, gave us a choice on how to live it, and there's consequences and there's sin in this life. So I don't think we need to be wondering why do bad things happen to good people. I think we need to be asking God, come and invade our families, our atmosphere. Because there's bad things happening. But I'm going to invite the God who is good to come in and bring change. Nobody else can help folks. There's not a psychiatrist, doctor, professional that you could pick up the phone and call to come who's going to actually fix your life. There's nobody in the phone book that you can ask. There is only one. And he's so willing. He's so willing to come in and bring change into your life. I'll ask the worship team to come on up. And I just want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. That says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. We can say amen. Do you know why, church family? Because all of God's promises are yes. He's already said, whatever you ask for, if I've promised it, the answer is yes. So all we need to do is say amen, come into agreement with it and ask for it. And he says, it'll be yours. It'll be yours. You know, those who have made a decision to live for Jesus have become a member of the family of God by having faith and expressing them in their words. And this morning we have two individuals who have decided to, before all of you this morning, get baptized in water. To get baptized to show all of us, to declare that they have decided to live their life for Jesus. And so what we are going to witness in a few moments is two ladies as a part of this church family who want to tell each and every one of us here